With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I gave it to Fabianski.
For?
Lookman's penalty.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello everybody, welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name's Serge.
And my name is James.
And today is the awards ceremony or awards giving pod of the season or whatever else.
Yeah, it's a throw out a best of and a couple of worst ofs from the 2020-21 season. It's not FPL focused, it's just Premier League focused.
Yes, indeed. And look, it's not like Carragher and Neville. We're not going to argue it out. Whatever it is, it is. We've all got differing opinions.
I'm pretty sure we're going to argue it out.
We're pretty biased on certain things. But net, I think we'll run through. We've got seven or eight categories here. Player of the season, manager of the season, signing of the season, goal of the season, assist of the season, save of the season, match of the season, flop of the season, worst game of the season, worst miss of the season, and we'll finish up with an 11.
A controversial, this is where we'll argue season. A team of the season,
yeah,
probably.
I think so. I have to be like, I've gone very emotion led rather than scientifically, you know, looking at statistically, apart from one category, which is worst game of the season. I haven't really kind of looked at, okay, well, you talk about best goalkeeper this season. Well, Edison got the golden gloves, right? But I'm not going to be voting for Edison. I mean, he's goalkeeper at City. I reckon you and me keep a fucking couple of clean sheets goalkeeping for City.
It'd be reasonable to pick him, though. I wouldn't particularly
argue
it.
Yeah, I mean, he's been all right, but that's not who I've gone for. But we'll get into them. Let's start with the biggest and first, then. Player of the season.
Is this where I just pick and you either agree or disagree or tell me I'm wrong?
Well, right? I've got who I picked. Who did you pick?
I think
you go first on this one. Who did you pick?
I think there are a few candidates that are one mentioning who wouldn't give player of the year. I think Jack Grealish. He hasn't played since about game week 25.
Yeah, it's his injury issues have been a problem.
I think
sure.
Heung-min Son over the course of the whole season has been very good, but gets overshadowed by his number 10 teammate. Bruno, consistent as Mo Salah, 22 league goals again. I think it's a choice between two, though. It's either Ruben Diaz or Harry Kane, in my opinion.
I've gone with Ruben Diaz, mainly because of the impact that, I mean, I firmly expect City to win the Champions League final, and that's the treble, mate. I mean, it's not the treble, it's a treble, let's say. But his impact on the team is why I went with Ruben Diaz. It fixed the problem that they had. And it actually almost strangely fixed the problem that we didn't know they had, because I thought Laporte was as good as it gets at centre. I mean, Van Dijk's up there. Laporte was great. John Stones was the problem. But what's happened is that Laporte's been sidelined. John Stones is no longer a problem. And in comes Ruben Diaz. He's kind of fixed the problem that they thought they had that they actually now no longer have. And they have three decent centre halves. Drop in Fernandinho if you need to, but
Nathan Aki won't approve if he's listening.
Do you know, I was watching.
Eric Garcia's in the Spain squad.
Yeah,
so.
I spoke in the main pod about watching the City trophy ceremony and Nathan Aki going up to get his medal, thinking 12 months ago, mate, I was getting fucking relegated to be lifting the Premier League title. Credit to Aki, kind of, sort of. I think Ruben Diaz has had the biggest impact on the team. And also, one of the things that shows you the measure of importance at City specifically is how little he's rotated compared to the rest of the bastards. Rodri gets rotated less than the others as well. Shows the importance to the team, whereas in other positions they've got so much more depth, maybe.
You will get no argument from me on Ruben Diaz, but I'm going Harry Kane. And the reason I'm going Harry Kane is it's an individual award. It's not a team award. He's been playing for a team that's been rubbish for the majority of the season. And yet he's the first player since 1994 to win top goal scorer and top assister. And he's done it in a bad team. And I think as an individual performance, that's right up there. But I think it's very close between the two. And I wouldn't. I know Ruben Dias already got the Football Writers Award. I think Kane might win the PFA, but I'm not sure what's happening with that award. I wouldn't argue with anybody. Anybody said that has to be Dias because of exactly what you said about his influence on Manchester City is unquestionable. I guess the question in hindsight would be, would they have done what they did if they hadn't bought him? Would it have been the same if it had been Laporte and Stones?
Possibly, because they did have quite a good margin in the league in the end. The League Cup was theirs. It has been for so long. Possibly, I think they'd have struggled more in the Champions League. That's the one where they maybe wouldn't have done as well. Having said that, I mean, Dias got, was it Haaland that just bullied him at one point, wasn't it?
Bashed in the quarter final.
That's probably one of the most iconic moments of the season. But yeah, I don't doubt that. Look, Harry Kane getting goals and assists, yes. My thing with Spurs is probably two things. One, ultimately, he hasn't been able to drive an outcome of a trophy or anything, even top four, which is a disappointment. In terms of his assists, I feel like, and it's the problem with Son's goals, I feel like the first half of the season was where you piled in and then foot off the gas a bit in the second half. I remember, obviously, when you were smashing teams and the two of them were golden assists two or three times a game for each other. It felt like the start of the season straight out the blocks and then has slowed down a little bit, whereas Dias was consistent throughout. We're really arguing over
when Tottenham played City in October, November, Kane bullied Dias and Laporte, if you want to put it that way. Then you look at the other two games. You go the other two games and you say, well, Dias dominated Kane in the other two times that they met this season. Mm. So I would be fine with anyone saying either way. I think it'd definitely be between those two. I don't have a qualm with Ruben Dias. I wouldn't even mind if you said, no, James, we have to pick one. Okay, yeah, fine, you could have Dias. I think it's very close between the two.
Yeah, I'm just looking here. Kane, you're talking 10 assists in the first 17 game weeks and then just four after that.
Just four.
Well, I'm talking it slowed down.
Did his goals slow down?
No, 23 goals and his goal output increased, but I think the importance of him to score more goals increased. I think the thing with Kane as well is he's developed his game this year. I mean, he's much more of a all-round contributor than he has been in the past, so you can't argue with it. It's why he's going to be sold for well over 100 and something million pounds.
Apparently. Till Pochettino comes back, convince him to stay. No, it's not happening.
No, it is. Listen to the... sign up to Patreon in the next 10 minutes, then head over to patreon.com and then listen to Tottenham. And James has got the inside scoop on Maurizio Pochettino.
Have I? What, am I ITK now?
Listen, mate, we're just trying to get patrons. Manager of the season.
I think this is tough and it's not straightforward. And it's the only award where I've put two names down.
Okay.
And I put two names down because I think if Pep wins on Saturday a Champions League and Premier League together and League Cup, he's got it, hasn't he? If he wins the Champions League as well, I think. But if he doesn't, I've gone David Moyes. Mm.
A lot of people have gone David Moyes, 16th to 6th, and just an improvement everywhere. It doesn't feel like, for me, a flash in the pan season where we've managed to have one player completely do bits. Like when the season we had Payet, for example, he was doing bits, but the rest of the team around them didn't feel like we were building an infrastructure that was sustainable for the long term. But Moyes this season, we've adapted to four at the back, five at the back, depending on the personnel we've had available. He managed that Christmas period where we rotated a little bit, but we rotated in twos and threes over the four or five games really well. We picked up so many points during that period. Second best home league record all season. I mean, mate, we don't want fans back, do we? There.
To be fair, Spurs had the third, which is alarmingly concerning.
Madness, isn't it? And he's bought through, some good players in terms of the signings that he bought through have all done well. So, you can't look past Moyes. And his backroom staff, the rumours are that he is very close to ink on paper for extending his deal, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, quite right. But yeah, Pep's still he's proving doubters wrong. Because
did you see his press conference yesterday, Guardiola?
Not the press conference. I did then see his tears about Aguero.
No, his press conference was quite interesting. Like he said, I've got so much confidence that my team's going to go and win on Saturday. Well,
okay. but the psychology and everything that goes with Pep is world class. The energy, the work rate. He inspires me to want to be a better human being. That says everything.
I think
about
as well with Guardiola, which would maybe make it tip his way, even if he doesn't win on Saturday. I think if he wins the Champions League, he's got to be manager of the year on top of the Premier League. But think back to early December, that draw at home to West Brom, what were they, 12th or 13th? Mm. We were kind of ruling them out, the title.
And they changed.
He changed up the way they played. He stopped having people hold Rodri's hands. He alternated Gundogan's position. They coped without De Bruyne for a while. Like, he was a part of changing that round. So he has to take some credit. Unlike in the other years, you could look at City this year and go, I don't know what points they finished on, 86 or something like that. It's quite low, really, compared to some recent years.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't say, oh, this has been the best incarnation of City, but actually they were in a bad place and turned it round.
Correct.
So I think he deserves credit for that. Two other managers I want to give a big shout out to, Bielsa.
Yep.
Phenomenal.
Yep.
And if you'd have asked me Christmas, I'd have put Dean Smith in a running for this as well. But Villa with Grealish and Villa without Grealish, two very different
teams.
Football teams, basically.
Agreed.
As we've seen this week, Grealish comes back, plays two games, and beat Tottenham and Chelsea.
Incredible, isn't it? Signing of the season.
That's really straightforward. It's the easiest one of all. It's Ruben Dias.
Yeah, I didn't go Ruben Dias because I didn't want to put him in two categories. I think by giving him player of the season, yes, it's easily the most impactful signing of the season, for sure. I found this one quite hard. For the simple reason that I don't really look at other team signings. I don't really kind of think, oh, you bought this player for this much or that much. I look at my own team signings, but I don't look at others. And so I gave it to Soufal for the simple reason that it's £6 million. For fuck's sake, it's just chump change in today's market. And he there's teams bigger, clubs bigger than us that probably have an eye on him as a right back. I think he could play for a bigger club than us. European football consistently. He's not the most glamorous, but you get 7 and 8 out of 10s every single game. And £6 million is a joke. It's the price that really made me think, you know what, I'm biased because I'm picking a player from my own club, but the price made him the
one for me. I don't mind that at all. One other name definitely will shout out is Wesley Fofana.
Yeah,
very good for Leicester this season, the first season as a boy at centre back. Cavani, I go on Twitter a lot and I see Cavani has signed the season. Scored less goals than Bale. Do you want to put Bale in now? No. I think for me, Ruben Dias, again, because of what it's meant. But if you're looking at it in terms of, I don't know, what do you get for your pound paid? Yeah, I don't have an argument with Soufal being a part of that. I think that's absolutely fine. He's brilliant. You know, I really, really rate him.
Yep. Goal of the season.
Emi Martinez worth a shout.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, goalkeepers is the number of times in recent weeks, get my words out if I can, James, that I've seen Arsenal fans say that they would have rather kept Martinez and sold Leno. I can start to get into double digits, mate. So, yeah, Martinez has to be up there. And considering he played so well at the end of last season as well, he's proved that he's a great goalkeeper. Definitely. Goal of the season.
It's obvious, isn't it?
For me, it's Lanzini, but you're going to go differently.
We discussed this on our Patreon pod yesterday.
It's just 93rd minute fading away.
Is that goal better than Lamela's goal? Come on.
For the importance, for sure.
Well, yeah, I know that. We fucking lost, didn't we?
We drew. Well, in that game, you lost, right, with us with a draw. I can't argue with it.
I love that goal, but I hate it because every time I see it, I remember that we lost. Does my head in a bit, but it has to be. I think goal of the seasons sometimes should be one of them you look at and you go, could I do that?
Yeah.
And the Lanzini goal, you and I could do it.
1 in 100,
yeah,
maybe.
Lamela, forget about it.
Yeah. Do you know, I can imagine you or me trying and we'd fall over before we kick the ball.
You ever seen
the legs would be tangled around and that's it.
You ever seen the clip of David Dunn when he was at Birmingham trying that and just falls arse over to it? That would be me or you.
The risk of it going wrong was so big.
The audacity to try it 0-0 in a North London derby is pretty big, I think.
Yeah, I don't have an argument.
You wouldn't. You just kick it. I mean, if we're right footed, if it fell on that side, we wouldn't be doing a Rabona with the right foot. We'd just try and kick the thing with our left wouldn't we?
Simple.
Straight out.
Simple. Funny. What about assist the season? This one's hard. I skipped this one because I just don't have a memory for these kind of things.
I think there are probably two outstanding assists, and they're both by the same player. And he's not a regular starter. I'm going to go for, and in fact, they're against the same opposition.
Wow. Okay, then we'll give it to him.
Both for Liverpool against West Ham, Gerrard and Shaqiri.
Okay.
So there's the one at the London Stadium.
Through ball for Jota.
The pass for Salah over the top.
Oh, remember when Salah remember when he played it?
When he played it, it was like, is it that too high? And it was perfect, and Salah finished it beautifully.
Yeah, I mean, but I would give quite a bit of credit to Salah's first touch there to take that out of the sky and make the assist as good as it was.
I prefer the one for Jota at Anfield. Mm.
The through ball.
Brilliant. Mm. Way to pass, magnificent.
The context of the game as well, I mean, obviously we went
and
up.
It was at a death, wasn't
then,
it? And they won
we
it.
We gave the penalty away, which was one of those where you're like, oh, come on, man. Like, do I need to breathe on a player to fall over? Albeit it was a penalty. We'd held him out really well, playing really well. We were on a good run at the time. And yeah, they'd mixed it up with Jota and Shaqiri, and you're thinking, okay, cool. But they proved that those boys have got talent. It was a great through ball. It was the only way they were going to get through us because they were whipping balls in and getting around the side.
And how many times have we seen them fail later on in the season, particularly at Anfield, to break teams down.
And so
he found that pass.
That was a very good ball through to Jota, and he finished it nicely. So yeah, I can't argue with that particularly.
You just couldn't think of a better one.
Nah, didn't look too hard. Save of the season's also a difficult one. That I saw it so is. Many good uns. Carl Darlow's double save against you. Martinez pulled out a number of good saves. Fabianski's pulled out a number of good saves. A lot of keepers this year have done well. He's got a lot of good shot-stopping keepers in the league this year. Meslier's done really well. Areola. It was a great signing for Fulham. He was a great shot stopper.
Areola made one brilliant save from Son at Tottenham, I remember.
I gave it to Fabianski.
For?
Lookman's penalty.
That's interesting because I got Edward Mendy. No, I really haven't.
I sat on the fence with that one in the end as well. That's why I went with Fabianski.
I decided, I didn't feel like there was a save this season that was kind of worthy of being all save of the decade or something. Do you know what I mean? There wasn't one that really stood out. You went, yeah, it has to be that. So I ended up going with one which was a great save, but I think also saved a game of football. It was by Sam Johnston, actually, for West Brom from Harry Maguire in a game between West Brom and United, where West Brom could have won the game. Deanne had a couple of big chances, and Maguire got his slab head on something, didn't he? Powerful header. It's going top bin. And Johnson gets the slightest finger to get it onto the post, which meant the game ended in a draw. So that's the one I went with, Sam Johnson, West Brom.
Good goalkeeper. There we go.
Possibly going to West Ham, we might be hearing.
I wouldn't be against it. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't be against it. Match of the season, James.
And I said this to you already, I really wanted to go to City Villa game that nearly finished 0-0.
It's on my short list.
Just an incredible game.
It was, for a football purist or a neutral or what have you, it really was. City Villa was in my shortlist, and that was actually not in my shortlist. That's probably the game I would have gone with. The 3-3 against you because of the emotion at the end was definitely.
It wasn't a great game though. It only happened in the first 15 minutes
really
and the last 15
was
minutes.
It was about the personal emotion of it more than anything else. We can't forget, I mean, United battered Southampton 9-0 as well. I felt like the last three goals in that were Southampton just rolling over at
you
that
wouldn't
point.
Call it match of the season, would you?
No, but I'm thinking a 9-0 is a proper smash.
For me, generally, match of the season wants to be when two teams right go at it. So I'm thinking Liverpool Leeds opening day, Leeds City game week 4.
Yeah,
that City Villa game that night in fucking pissing conditions, and it was like there's no way this game could finish 0-0 was brilliant.
But there was moments where we thought it would.
Then we had the car crash games. Leicester 5-2 at City, Tottenham 6-1 at Man United, even West Brom 5-2 at Chelsea recently. Yeah. But I think in a car crash season, we had to go for the biggest car crash of all, which was Villa beating Liverpool 7-2.
I don't know this was the crash. This was the first wheel coming off because they then crashed five times, six times straight after. 7-2.
phenomenal, and it could have been more.
And let's remind everybody, pretty much a full strength Liverpool, VVD and co were there.
I think match of season's got to be something that has your jaw like dropping, and that did. Especially for me, we'd beat United 6-1 earlier in the day. Yeah, like, how could something be madder than that? Yeah. And they destroyed. I mean, it was probably Jack Grealish that night was probably best individual performance in any game this season, I'd say.
It was wave. It felt like wave after wave. Every time Villa attacked,
and Watkins got a hat trick that night. By the way,
160 something pointer over the season, Ollie Watkins.
Yeah, not bad.
To give him a shout out, I just feel like no one can deny that Villa deserved it, because every time they attacked, Liverpool shit the bed.
Well, I remember watching the game and thinking this could be 10.
Yeah.
Actually going from an acceptance of what is happening here. So I think even at half time, I want to say it was 4-1 at half time. You think with Liverpool score early second half.
No.
But it became more of an acceptance of like, they are getting destroyed here every time Villa goes forward.
Yeah.
And I think it did go through a few people's minds. Could this be like 9-10 or something? Mm. And it wouldn't have been unjust if it did.
Yeah, you see teams sometimes in terms of game management where they just lose it.
They just went that night, Liverpool.
And Liverpool... Normally, these big clubs who play in Europe, game management is a real strength. This was one of those where actually we've lost our heads here. We don't know how to cope with it and just capitulated and proved to then be the start of a very difficult season for Liverpool. And we were tipping them for the title so early as well. So,
I'll put my hands up and say, biggest clang of the season. I told everyone in December Liverpool had it won, finished.
And they didn't. Talking of other flops of the season, who do you have down as flop of the season, James?
There's a number you could put in there, but I think the outstanding candidate for me, in my opinion, has to be Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Just because of the drop-off being so big from, even if we want to bring FPL into this from perspective going, is he the best option to captain in game week one, game week two? And then getting to the point by game week 38 and going, for people who are selling Bruno, do you even pick Aubameyang over Pepe? Was actually where we got to. So I just think the drop off in him was so stark. I mean, what did he finish with? 6 goals or something? Aubameyang?
Is that it?
I feel like I need to check. He had the hat trick against Leeds, right? But I feel like he only scored in like 3 or 4 other games.
Aubameyang, I've got it right here.
How many
James
did he get, Suj?
10 goals.
Oh, well, that's still shit.
And 3 assists.
It's rubbish though, isn't it? If you take away
2 against Newcastle,
2 against Newcastle, 3 against Leeds. I think he only scored in 6 games, I want to say.
Right, yeah.
Piss poor, isn't it, really? Mm. Interrupted massively by injury later on in the season, but it wasn't at the start. I mean, he played nearly every minute of the first 13 games and had 3 goals in that period.
Still team selected by 7.2%. Dead teams sitting with him.
I'd say so. And to be honest, if people took a punt on him at the weekend, I wouldn't have particularly minded. But I think biggest flop would have to be Aubameyang from the perspective that, and I guess Timo Werner's...
I mean, post FA Cup, it was even, will he sign another deal?
Yeah.
Desperate to get him to sign another deal.
They
as
were.
As soon as he put ink on paper.
All I think of when I think of him is him standing there in the middle of the pitch about, I want to be a legend of this football club, and it's really gone to fucking pot since then. It wouldn't be the worst thing for Arsenal to take some money from him, I think, and sell him.
Agreed.
But I think last summer you'd have looked at, I think it was rumours of United and stuff, wasn't there, last summer maybe. There was a little bit of concern from Arsenal fans. And rightly so, because he'd done City over in the FA Cup semi-final, he'd done Chelsea over in the FA Cup final. He doesn't even look at the moment like a player who's going to do that sort of damage. I don't know if there's something mentally, maybe he's been carrying injuries. I don't know. We know he suffered malaria a little bit recently, in fairness.
Yeah.
But he didn't have malaria 6 months ago. Something's not been right there. Maybe he's been carrying with an injury all season. Who knows? But not been right. I think he has to be the biggest disappointment, because I think if we go back to August, a few of us could have tipped up maybe Timo Werner for maybe top goal scorer. But I don't think any of us would have thought Aubameyang wouldn't be in the conversation.
Agreed.
And he's miles off.
Yeah. I think Henri mentioned Raheem Sterling, maybe Sadio Mane. I feel like they weren't flops, but they just didn't live up to their high standards.
Would Mane get 16 goals still or something?
Yeah, he's still decent enough.
So it's not really a flop, is it?
Yeah, I just think maybe we thought they'd be more explosive this season than they weren't. But
Sterling, I accept, has been one of the real disappointments of Man City's season.
Worst game of the season, James. Worst game of the season.
I found with these, the easy thing you could do is you can look at a game and go, yeah, West Brom nil, Burnley nil, and go, yeah, that's it. But actually, I watched a lot of crap big games this year.
Correct.
Particularly featuring some at Old Trafford. United, Chelsea 0-0, United City 0-0. But the standout for me was, in terms of worst, was Chelsea Tottenham. Was the worst. And I think the reason it was the worst was because at the time, it was the top two in the league. And it wasn't a decent shot on goal till Hugo Lloris saved from Mason Mount of about 10 minutes to go.
When was that game, James?
Tottenham, that was sort of November time-ish, I think. That was a time when generally people were in my ear going, Tottenham are going to challenge for the league and stuff. Tottenham went there with no interest of winning the football match. They went there for a draw, came out of a draw. It felt like a shit watch for me. And even though it was an important game, it must have felt like a really shit watch for everybody else. Because I think at the same time, although Chelsea had all the ball, they didn't do enough to beat us that day.
Yeah,
I think it was a poor game. You're looking for the XG in that, are you?
I am.
Have you got it?
I have.
Go on.
So it didn't make it into my shortlist because the combined XG of both teams is over one goal.
Okay.
Chelsea were 0.97
and
you were 0.23. I'm not sure if they particularly had one effort that might have skewed that.
I remember us having one effort early in the game from Bergwijn. That's about it. And we had a brilliant chance at the end and Lo Celso played the wrong pass. That wouldn't even register on an XG.
No.
Abraham, I think, missed a couple of headers, didn't he?
But yeah, Tammy Abraham's XG was half.
I think you've picked a different game based on statistical modelling, haven't you, Sid?
I just thought, well, you know, I don't remember games like you do. Let me see which games did have the shittest XG. And there were four or five games that had less than one goal XG combined between both teams. So Crystal Palace 0, Fulham 0.
I'll tell you why I didn't pick that.
Had a XG of 0.89.
I didn't watch the first half of that.
Okay.
So I felt like I couldn't nominate it.
Yeah. That had an XG of 0.89, but Palace in that game had an XG of 0.09. That's pretty fucking low. This game got a bit of a mention. Crystal Palace, Sheffield United, 2-0 to Palace. But the game had a combined XG of 0.92, less than one goal a game. Palace ended up with an XG of 0.6 and still scored two goals.
Eze scored a brilliant goal in that game. So I don't think you could put it in worst match of the season.
Brighton, West Brom had an XG of less than one goal in the entire game, 0.85. But that finished 1-1.
And it finished a little bit dramatic, actually, because Carlin Grant scored for West Brom and West Brom really went for the winner. So
yeah, definitely not there. But Manchester United Chelsea that we mentioned earlier in the season had the lowest combined XG of both teams of any game this season, from what I can see, which was 0.87, and it was 0-0, and there were no goals to celebrate. So I'm giving it to United Chelsea because it had no goals and the worst XG.
You can have that. I just obviously didn't want to do a year review and not get Mourinho in there somewhere.
Acceptable and understandable. Worst miss of the season, James. Worst miss of the season.
I didn't even look for any of these. I just, when I think of that, I just think Timo Werner's miss against Leeds.
Really?
Yeah, straight away. Straight away.
I didn't
even look for anything else. The ball's going in. Not only does he miss it, he basically blocks it.
Yeah, true. I went with Roman Saiz. The miss, was it against Leeds? On the line where he flicked it up and over?
I can't remember it.
Roman Saiz. I watched it literally just now. Roman Saiz misses.
Roman Saiz miss on. I remember Emi Martinez making a great save from him in a 0-0 at Villa Park. Saiz miss on the line. I can't even think of that.
Wasn't
from Sunday, was it? Because I was very drunk.
Miss of the Aston Villa 0.
Oh yeah, there was one in that game. Yeah.
We'll,
but he was stretching a bit, wasn't he? I remember it now.
Forget about it.
Yeah, he was stretching
it.
A bit.
Forget about
Timo
it.
Timo Werner's one is worse, definitely.
Forget about it. I mean, I look at this one, I'm like, you or me could have tapped it in.
We just need to
poke it forward.
Okay, we would have, yeah.
From 3 yards, how do you sky it from 3 yards?
But Timo Werner could have moved out of the way and it would have been a goal.
That's true. So does he not get defensive credit?
Defensive action of the season. The pair of them, Werner and Saiz.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, no, you're right to highlight that Saiz one. Well done.
That was pretty shit. Rubbish.
I'm still having Timo Werner, though. I can't have someone blocking an effort on the line.
No, that's true.
And then fail to convert. Meslier actually makes a decent save, but it's just a calamity, which summed up a lot of his season. Mm. Do you think he'll go off next season?
Yes.
Because I can promise you now,
yes,
for the FPL managers, you're all going to get told in the summer that Werner's going to fucking outperform his XG this time. It's going to level out and all that. I'm not convinced. Mm-hmm. I know he's a good player, but I'm not convinced he's going to go big.
Yeah. Let's do our team of the season, James, shall we?
Oh, is that it, is it?
Yeah, that's okay. all of the categories that we had. Team of the season. I put Kasper Schmeichel in goal. I think I've got a little bit of...
So did I after that punch on Sunday.
A little bit of legacy in terms of he's been good for a while now. Leicester went and won a trophy. This wasn't just Premier League. And they've been good all season. I think he deserves a bit of credit for just being a consistent goalkeeper. We had a quiz last week on goalkeepers. There's only five that played every minute of the season. Now, after this week's fixtures, there's only four that have played every minute of every season. Schmeichel's there.
It was four anyway.
Lloris, Johnston.
What are you telling him the quiz away for? Lloris, Schmeichel, Martinez, Ramsdale. Oh, yeah, James, you're right.
I picked two or three. I can't remember. Anyway, Schmeichel was one of them.
You actually did it right on that quiz question.
Schmeichel was one of them.
Yeah.
So consistency, reliable goalkeeper, doesn't make too many mistakes. But I could easily have Emi Martinez in there as a replacement. But I went with Kasper Schmeichel just to give the guy a bit of credit and not be always Peter's son.
I said that on COTC Saturday, didn't I? It really annoys me. It's like his father there. Shut up, man. He's a good goalkeeper. Emi Martinez for me all day long. No debate about it.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Had a great season.
Phenomenal season. Best FPL goalkeeper by a mile. I think best saves. I saw a stat, interestingly, that someone had worked out in terms of who'd beat their expected saves the most. I saw it in The Athletic. And Lloris was higher than Martinez.
Okay.
In terms of like expected points saved and stuff like that. But I think, yeah, Emi Martinez, goalkeeper of the season, gotta be.
You do think, though, that he's had to do more work than some others, potentially, which is...
Lloris definitely had more work to do than he should have had to do.
Right back?
I got Soufal, mate.
Okay.
Yeah, honestly. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, again, I'm picking my team that I like to enjoy and watch and players that I like. I went with Reece James.
You didn't put Soufal in?
Nah. I went with Reece James. I just love everything about Reece James's game. He's big, strong, powerful, good tackling, gets great balls in the box. I just think, yeah, he's a great, great player. I think Reece James for me.
It's a surprising one.
He didn't get enough minutes, but I look at it and I'm just like...
I think for me, it was between Soufal and Cancelo. And I'm just unhappy with how much Cancelo's played. I think he, like a few other City players, and there's one who does make it in this, had that incredible kind of December, January, February period. And he's an absolutely brilliant player. I didn't feel he finished the season great, Cancelo.
No.
And I think Soufal consistency all through the season deserved a little bit of reward, actually. I mean, if you ask me which one would have rather played in my team, it's Cancelo, obviously. But I think Soufal deserves that.
Okay. Left back.
Luke Shaw.
Simple. We agree.
United's player of the season, I was going to say by distance, would be very unfair on Bruno Fernandes. But I think, yeah, Luke Shaw would be United's player of the year for me.
Yep. Centre-backs, I mean, Ruben Diaz, we talked about, he's straight obviously in there. Who did you pair alongside him?
I went with Stones. Because I just think the impact of that relationship, and go back to like when I said when City lost at Tottenham, Stones came into the team after that, and that's when it began to change for them defensively. Then a few weeks later, they built up the offensive armoury in them. So I think Stones' impact throughout the season, absolutely brilliant. If I wasn't going to go Stones, I think I'd have gone for Fana.
Interesting. I think Luke Shaw and John Stones share a bit of similarity in that there was question marks about them before the start of the season. And now, if you're putting an England 11 out, there's no brainer that both of them left back and centre back. So they've both really developed their game.
I think Chilwell will start for England.
Yeah, I don't think he should, but that's a debate for another day.
That's really close between the two of them.
I think Luke Shaw
is better defensively.
It's been really good, but John Stones, without a doubt. I did put Craig Dawson there in brackets for the simple reason
that he didn't play in 2020.
He's free, but look. The amount of grief that signing got versus how important he is to the team now in terms of leadership and everything, and he just nuts everything away. And I'm so impressed with how good he has become as a signing and how important he was to our defence. So I had him there in brackets, knowing that John Stones is the right answer.
I think just to add on that, no Chelsea defenders in this as well, and they've obviously had some very good spells defensively since Tuchel took over, but I feel like Rüdiger and Azpilicueta have only played second half of the season. Thiago's been in and out of the team with injuries and stuff. I feel like it's been very changed.
Yeah.
So I couldn't pick an outstanding individual there.
No. Holding or midfield, I've got two kind of double pivot in front. Declan Rice goes in for me. He's just boss man. And I put Ilkay Gundogan next to him. I think if you've got Rice there, then Gundogan can be quite free. And he has shown this season that he's more than just a, you know, one of the gang. Fucking boss man. So I put Rice and Gundo as a pairing in front of my back four.
I've gone with the same pairing. I would describe this as a 4-2-3-1/4-3-3/4-1-4-1, and Gundogan can obviously play in all of them systems. Yeah. You could drop Rice in deeper. I'm a bit staggered how many teams of the seasons I've seen this year and Declan Rice not been in them. I just don't get it. That's phenomenal. Yeah. I think he would even be an outside shout for the overall player of the year in different circumstance. Like, I think if he was in the nominees for the top six for PFA, you wouldn't get a complaint from me. Phenomenal Declan Rice all day long in this team. One of the first in it for me.
Yeah, he just so rarely has a bad game. It's always consistently ticking along. And he's just a very likeable lad too. And Gundogan, no arguments on him either.
The one I really there's two players that kind of left out. I think the rest is, I'm looking at yours, I'm going, oh, there's one controversy still to come, but otherwise it's going to be quite similar. But a few names, Yuri Tielemans, brilliant,
it's been very
for Leicester.
Good. Sure.
And Mason Mount,
100%
across the whole season for Chelsea, brilliant. Those are the two players that I found leaving them two out more difficult than De Bruyne, who you and I, we haven't got in. I've just
agreed.
Seen your team.
Yeah,
and I think De Bruyne gets in the most. Listen, KDB's probably my favourite non-Tottenham player in the Premier League. There isn't a team you wouldn't want him in, but I think actually in terms of team of the season across the whole
he
of
hasn't
it,
done it.
No, I look at his minutes across the season, not for me. I think the other four we're going to put in, I'm going to fight you for one of these. It's going
to
be interesting.
To Kane is in.
Kane's obviously up front.
Salah on the right?
Yes, he's got to be. Still 23 goals, 22 goals a winger. Brilliant.
And if I'm looking at right-sided attacking wingers, I think he's the best in the league. So cutting in on his
I think across the whole season, it's been consistent. Mahrez has obviously had a really good 2021. But then, again, this is a Premier League team of the season. Was he played like twice since game week 27 or something? I think it's the same for Kevin De Bruyne as well.
Jack Grealish in for you or
not? No, because what I decided was it was.
Is that where we're having a debate?
Yeah.
So
let's
put the left-sided attacking midfielder in Son, shall we?
Son's in mine, yeah.
Yeah, I just think when I looked at this team and I'm like, who do I want running down the left, running in behind, creating? I'd say Son is still the best in that position, or has been this season with the number of goals he scored and assists and the threat. So Jack Grealish in that number 10 role. I mean,
We spoke about Salah's numbers. Salah's numbers, I think, are 22 goals, 6 assists. So it's 28 attacking returns. Son's got 28 attacking returns as well. I think 17 goals, 11 assists.
Yep.
Is it second season in a row he's got double figures for goals and assists?
Yes.
I mean, elite levels of attacking returns.
Correct.
Now for a wide player. I think it's fair to put him in the category.
Again, like,
alongside
Mane's
and Salah's
earlier,
now.
With Kane, get biased by so much of it was early, but the season's 38 games, right? At the end of the day,
Son has not been great for Tottenham the last couple of months, but unlike Jack Grealish, he has been on the pitch.
I think Son's struggled emotionally in recent times.
Jack Grealish has barely played since game week 24 or so. And for me, honestly, at that point of the season, if you'd have said to me player of the year, I would have said Jack Grealish.
If I was
think
taking
over
Jack
the whole
Grealish
season,
out, I'd almost put Mount in that number 10 role.
No. Where the fuck is Bruno, mate?
Yeah, okay.
He's got to go in, mate.
Yeah, he does. I'm not going to argue it. I mean, it doesn't fill me with... Did you know what? It doesn't fill me with...
He's phenomenal. He's got to go.
Excitement, necessarily.
No, I get that.
But you're right. I'm not going to debate it.
You can't have...
But fuck me. If that was your front four,
Bruno, in it.
Bruno behind Kane and Son and Salah on the side, fuck me. They'd win everything. That'd be dangerous.
They might get a few goals, I should imagine, between them.
Fuck me.
Jack Grealish was so good for the first two-thirds of the season that he, for me, he has every right to be in the conversation to be in that team.
Okay.
But I think to miss the whole third of the season at the end, and even more annoyingly, it'd be next week. Be next week, you fuckers. No,
yeah,
it won't.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I felt consistency over the course of a whole season. You could make a case and say Gundogan has maybe missed a certain amount of time and stuff, but I think his impact in that run of goal scoring was so big for Man City. He influenced the title. And similarly with John Stones, who I know didn't play for the first 8 games or so. Same thing. His impact actually affected where the Premier League title went, and that's why that's not really comparable to Grealish for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm gutted not to put Grealish in that team.
Yeah, I disregarded Bruno, so I'll take it on the chin. Bruno needs to go in. It's a good team though, that Emery Martinez.
I almost feel like we agreed on that team, bar goalkeeper and right back.
Yeah, yeah, but I think a lot of these players have really made.
I'm not having Reece James over Soufal, mate. It's your fucking team.
Yeah, but it's my team. Soufal, I just prefer Reece James. I think he's a better player.
Yeah, no, he's a better player. Cancelo's a better player. It's team of the season, mate. I don't think Son's a better player than Grealish. I'd rather have Grealish.
Yeah, true. On that criteria, I'm just trying to think of right back. Why is it such a struggle that there's so many poor right backs?
Well, Trent had a difficult season, didn't he?
Walker?
Wan-Bissaka's not been bad this season, but
I think 6 attacking returns
team
all
of the season
worthy.
Well, Cole Walker's only played after games, really, so I think team of the season doesn't, and I've seen him bashing about in a few pro pundits teams. I'm not having that. I think Soufal on the consistency. Well, I mean, what am I going to do, pick Doherty or Aurier? Come on, man. The fuck. Arsenal nothing, right back shit. So I feel like for me it'd be between Soufal and Cancelo. I don't mind saying Reece James had a very good season. I mean, team of the season, no, it'd be Soufal or Cancelo for me.
Okie dokie. Fun, James. That was enjoyable to look back at the season,
fresh,
wrap it up. I'm sure, listeners, I hope you enjoyed it too, as a chance to just remind yourself of the 2020-2021 season and what it was. Of course, if you've got ideas on things that you disagree with us on, jump on Twitter at @PlanetFPLPod. Just, stick it out there. What are we doing tomorrow, James?
Sky
Fantasy Football.
Sky.
James is going to show us all the money he won in pound coins. So do stay tuned for that. It'll probably take us about 45 minutes to count.
I fucking robbed a load of money.
Fantastic. Excellent. Thank you for tuning in. Stay safe wherever you are. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Cue music, please.
We didn't plug Patreon. If you want to give us money, patreon.com/planetfpl. That's all you need to know.
It's free in June and July if you sign up now. There you go.
There we go. Ciao for now.
Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.